Welcome, friends, to Inverse, our Bible study show here that either you're watching through video or you're listening through our podcast. My name is Pastor Justin Kim, and at the studio we have Callie and Siku and Jonathan. Hey, guys.
Hey.
And I appreciate you guys, along with Israel and Sebastian, having been with us for about, 12 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And we've been looking at almost every avenue, every angle of giving, but from samples of vignettes, so we can do more. But we have found ourselves repeating ourselves some of the principles of giving, but it's all in different contexts. You see, you know, giving in an extreme context, giving in a faithful context, giving in a consistent context, giving in a very, you know, punctiliar moment, or giving in a lifetime element. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see giving, not just in terms of giving to the Lord money or offerings and tithe, but also our whole lives. And it's been a very, very fascinating and profound study. We're in our last week here, in week 12, we're looking at last day giving, end time giving. And we want to encourage you to go to hopetv.org/inverse and then binge watch the entire season and also other seasons that we've been recorded about on different Bible topics. But also go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guide there. Yeah. And you can follow along with us lesson by lesson along with your small groups as well. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. And Callie, can you pray for us?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, we thank you for the many lessons you've taught us over these last 11 weeks. And we thank you that you desire to teach us even more today. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit as we open your word. May we see the lessons for us today, and even lessons later the Holy Spirit will want to bring back to our minds. May we see Jesus clearly. May we love him more. Mm-hmm. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I did ask this to Sebastian and Israel before in our last episode, but is there one thing that you learned in this, Callie, in this quarter that just totally fresh, like totally, absolutely new, that you didn't, just a new angle on something that you haven't, that you didn't know before?
I'm having a hard time with the extremity of that definition, but I think something that is extremely relevant to my life right now is that giving back to God by faith is most exemplified my faith when it's difficult for me to do it.
That's the circumstances of the difficulty often indicate something else going on.
Yeah, so giving out of my abundance is like, yeah, that's by faith, but it's not as much as when I'm like, but this is hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm running out.
Yeah.
And that's just something, like, that's just something I'm experiencing right now. And so this really speaks to my current experience, and I really appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That we're identifying with you, because that's also, I think, like, we resonate with that. Jonathan, how about you? You know what I was mentioning before in the previous episode, like, it's cool that we all learned something here. And these narratives, I think, we're very familiar with. Mm-hmm. But then we learn something again in our last episode, very, very deep into Ananias and Sapphira. We never have actually gone that deep into that narrative ever before. So, Jonathan, is there experience that you may have?
I really appreciated it. The episode we did on Noah, because I've seen
Noah
for years, but the connection, and I've seen the connection between Noah and our days today. You know, I mean, Jesus says it will be like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
But just the personal impact that it had on him, it was not just him building the ark. It was just his complete and total and utter surrender of his life to this cause, this ridiculous cause in the eyes of the world.
Yeah.
And he gives his life for that, for his end time mission, you know, his personal end time mission, and his faithfulness and the dynamics of faithfulness and stewardship there, that really, really spoke to me, and it's going to make me reevaluate how I live in our end times as we approach the second coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. And a perfect segue to this lesson.
Yes. Great job,
as we look at someone, Noah, who was faithful in his end time context. Ish, you know, ish. In that type and antitype. But then you also have, we're looking at Matthew 19, 16 through 23, about the rich young ruler who also wanted to enter the kingdom of God, but wasn't as faithful. And so, Siku, can you read that passage for us, 16 through 22?
22? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Let's, and read 24, please, if you don't mind.
And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
Yeah, same context. What can we glean from that passage here that Siku has just read?
There's a lot to glean from here. Is there something specific you want us to look at? I mean, for me, what sticks out here
is, for
a second, we know this story.
Yep.
And we immediately go to this, righteousness by works versus righteousness by faith. You know, like, what can I do to get eternal life? But like his question is, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Yes, of course, his focus is on what he can do in his strength. But it's not necessarily a bad question. I mean, even the act of surrender is a good thing you do, okay? Mm-hmm. But this young ruler, he's sincere in his desire to gain eternal life.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that? But he's obviously missing the point, and Jesus is trying to gently but very direct point out the true issue in his heart. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I found myself many times in the position of the rich young ruler. Not that I was ever rich, but or ruler.
If you're young.
I'm young, as I'm being reminded every day. Let's get into that. But it's like the fact that we naturally want to contribute to the process of salvation, and because this is how the world works. You have to do something to get it. I've been there many times, and so I've seen myself in that story many times. I know it's not directly related to stewardship right now, but
definitely an application. Callie and then Siku.
I see myself very much, and clearly the rich young ruler knows he lacks something because that's why he's coming, mm-hmm. right? And then Jesus points out some things, and he's like, I've done that since my youth. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say like, oh, I've done that. We're good. Mm-hmm. Great conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've done that. So what do I still lack?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he recognizes there's something that's still not quite there.
Mm.
And I see myself sometimes going to Jesus, and I'll be like, yeah, what about this or this? And I'm like, okay, yeah. But then as soon as he tells me the answer, I'm like, that's not what I want to hear.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to do. And so it's like, then why were you asking in the first place? Like, are you just curious? Were you just hoping he was going to say something different than what your conviction has led you to believe?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we do that, where we ask God to give us clarity, and then he does. But we're like, that's not the clarity I wanted, so I refuse to obey that.
Mm-hmm. I find it that, let's go to Siku, yep.
That was actually my point.
That was your point.
The sincerity of his desire to have something more than what he had, because he got the answer, and he's like, but I know that there's something still missing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's commendable, actually, in him, to recognize, because so many people walk around...
Keep going.
Yeah, so many people walk around oblivious to their own need, right? But he had taken enough time to search his soul and realize that something was lacking.
Yeah, and the irony is he's rich and he's young, and it's like he can purchase whatever that is absent in his life. He just needs to get it.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying it's actually not in the positive that you need to get. It's something in the negative that you don't have yet, if that makes sense in any way. Mm-hmm. In verse 18, I think it's just weird that Jesus said to him, which ones? And Jesus says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear witness. And I can just imagine this guy, like he's memorized the Ten Commandments. So he's just like, I got it. But then the next one that Jesus would have gone to, if you follow the order of Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. But he goes to honor your father and your mother, and you shall love the neighbor as yourself. Kind of takes a sharp right turn and then like almost a 145 degree angle, like weird. And it makes the guy think, right? Mm-hmm. And then so verse 20, all these things have I kept from the youth. What do I still lack?
Yeah.
And then so Jesus is actually talking about covet. you know, he's mm-hmm. coveting things, and he's something attached to the world, and it's piercing him in a different way. Yeah, Callie.
I was going to say, I just love the patience of Jesus.
Yes.
I do not have the patience of Jesus.
Your problem is this.
Yeah, like, Richard, I really have a question. This is the problem. You covet too many times. You need to give up your stuff. That's what you need to do.
Stop,
good talk.
Stop the conviction.
Like, that's what. But he's just like, he, because Jesus' goal is not to overwhelm him.
Right.
Jesus' goal is to woo him. Mm. Jesus' goal is to convince his heart and to convince him that Jesus is the right way. Because if Jesus' goal was to win arguments or just be right all the time, I feel like he could have had a much more aggressive approach. Mm-hmm. But that's just the loving tenderness of Jesus, mm-hmm. of like, I see you coming to me, you're asking me, presumably in front of these different people, and I'm gonna try to tell you in a way that I'm not trying to call you out to make you look bad in front of all these people, but I'm still gonna try to guide you towards the truth so that your mind and your heart is convinced, mm. yeah. and I don't just overwhelm you with light. Mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. is the greatest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that's kind of sad, but also, you know, but in verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, mm. for he had great possessions.
Yeah.
Meaning the greatest teacher wooed his heart and still didn't
yeah.
get his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that reveals the power of money and wealth. He goes on, you read it, that, you know, it's really hard for rich people. Because money in this world represents power. It represents security. And it gives you, a false sense in a way of it, but not totally false. Because with money, you can have security. You can have a lot. You can make things happen that that other people can only have by faith in God,
yeah.
okay? Mm-hmm. Some things, okay? I'm talking very materialistic mm-hmm. things, but it is, it shows the if Jesus, the Son of God, the most powerful teacher and savior of the world, cannot break through to him. I mean, he did everything he could. It was the choice that the young ruler made. And maybe later on he repented, we don't know, but
yeah.
in that moment, his wealth was more powerful than the Son of God.
Yeah.
And that should make us think it's not necessarily wrong to have wealth,
yeah.
But what is my relationship with money? What is my relationship with my wealth? Mm-hmm. And in extension of that, since we are talking about, you know, stewardship and all these things, what is my relationship with my time and my everything that I am? You know, going back to Noah, like, what is the purpose of my wealth? Mm-hmm. Is it for me to gain these things that other people have only by faith? Or is it to, you know, further the mission, to support whatever it is that God leads us to support? Mm-hmm. And this is just sobering to me, because I'll be honest, like, obviously I would be happy to have more money, you mm-hmm. know, but what's my relationship with money? Maybe there's a reason Jesus hasn't blessed me with wealth, you know, because he knows my heart. So, it's just really sobering, mm-hmm. I gotta say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed.
I'll add a little nuance to that. And you mentioned it as you were speaking, that it's not the money that has the power, mm-hmm. but how we relate to
yes.
it, right? Mm. And this having great possessions.
The love of money.
Yeah.
Yes. The root of sin.
Right.
Was that
root of evil. Right, yeah.
That's the root of evil, yeah.
That's precisely what I'm pointing to, that the money itself or whatever possession we consider to be great. Mm-hmm. And it may be, you know, some people are not money people, mm-hmm. but they're people, mm. right? And as long as you've got a lot of people in your life that love you, that like spend time with you, and we become slaves to people, like to the acceptance of people, to the praise of people, we talked about in a previous episode, and that becomes the great possession, mm. is people, you know, accepting me and thinking I'm great, right? Mm. And that becomes our great possession that I'm not willing to give up for Jesus, mm-hmm. right? So whatever it is that's that thing that we value more than we value a relationship with Jesus. Mm. And that's the power lies in what we give power over us, mm. like what we choose to value in our lives. And what Jesus was telling him was that the problem that you've got is a heart problem, mm. that your heart is not perfect towards God.
God first. Not the
right.
case here.
Mm-hmm. 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 And he's like, that's what needs to be remedied. You feel like you're lacking something, and you yeah. are lacking something. Yeah. The thing that you're lacking is it's one little thing and it's really profound, and it's that your heart is not perfect towards me.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you how you can do it. Sometimes it takes something super radical, right? And for this guy, that would have been radical.
Yeah.
I mean, in everybody's eyes, like this rich guy with influence, he's got money, he's got influence, he's got vigor, physical vigor, to give up all of that and go follow this rabbi who has, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, go and follow this guy, right? That would have been radical. But Jesus wasn't calling him to do it because the money was bad. Because God has blessed many people with money. Like Abraham had flocks, and Isaac, God blesses people with money. God's got no problem with money. The problem is when we value those gifts that God has given to us more than we value the God who has given them. And sometimes it takes giving up all of that for us to realize that Jesus is the important thing. Sometimes it takes giving up. For Abraham, he left his family. Sometimes it takes walking away from my family for me to realize that God is more important than my mother and my father, not because family is bad, but because I value the praise of my mother and my father more than I value God.
Mm. If I can read scripture to correspond with Siku's comment there in verse 25, I see humor whenever I read the scripture. But you know, verse 24, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through eye. Verse 25. Then when the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And you're holding on to the table, you know, like, who then? So Jesus, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. Verse 27, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? You know, kind of the Peter asked, Petrine answer. Verse 28 is really where Siku was getting at. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you have followed me who also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Mm. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Mm-hmm. Just to correspond with what you were saying
This is really, really significant. And, you know, I'm thinking where we live here, you know, it's very normal to have, you know, you and in many countries you pay into your pension fund and investments, whatever, so that when you're older you have income and can make it, right? That's just a way of life. And it's not, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we are to be good stewards of the money that has been given to us. However, Jesus is calling for something really radical, and that is to be willing to give all of that up to. Mm-hmm. He's not saying you have to do it right now, but in this case, he said you should do it. Yeah. And my question to myself is, like, it's easier to me to say, yeah, I'm happy to, you know, contribute my tithe and offerings and to increase my offering every year a little bit or whatever it is, you know, we do. But if Jesus calls me right now to give up everything, am I willing to do it? Am I willing to do it? Mm-hmm. If he says 401k or your whatever pension fund you have or whatever investments you have, you know, your bitcoins or whatever you got, give it up for him right now. Mm-hmm. Would you do it? I'm asking myself because I'm not 100% sure. And so I'm praying that, you know, Jesus will enable me, because I love him, but do I love him that much? Mm. And so, like, it's easy to judge this guy, you know, but would we do it too? Mm-hmm. It's a question I think we need to ask ourselves. And even when we might say quickly, oh yeah, for Jesus, I'll do this, when it comes down to it, and the time will come when we have to give up everything, the end times are coming for us, will we be willing then, or even before then, to invest it in the church and in the mission, in the final push to proclaim the gospel? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add just another angle, really the exact same thing you're saying, but yeah. I can hear someone like myself, I'm trying to speak to myself right now, is listening to that, but like, I don't love money. Like, I don't like nice things.
Right.
I don't like nice vacations. Like, I don't like any of those things. But even though I don't love money, I trust money.
Right.
And so I depend on it in the sense of, like, I don't love all this luxurious things, but I see it as my safeguard. Mm-hmm. I see it as a thing that takes care of me.
Right.
And that is still, it's the same thing. It's just a different word. And so we can think like, oh yeah, well, I don't like buy really nice things.
Right.
So clearly I don't love money, so we're good. Mm-hmm. I don't have great possessions. I'm not a ruler, like, I'm not young, right? I'm not those things. But I just think of people like me, who might not do all those things, but trusting to money and depending on it and seeing it as your surety and your safeguard instead of the God of the universe,
right.
It has the same effect on your soul, mm-hmm. except I think it's a little bit more deceitful, which even makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. If Siku.
Oh, okay, thanks.
If Siku has something to say.
Yes, I do. Yes. I think that it's important, the part that we ended up reading where Jesus talks about in the regeneration, the Son of Man sits on his throne, that I will give you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There is a genre of Christianity that's kind of anti-money. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, to be holy, you got to be poor, right? Or to show that you really love the Lord, you got to give up everything, etc. That's not Jesus' point, right? Like, his point is about where your heart is.
Yes.
Right? And what he is saying, his promise is, whether you have money in this life or not, what I promise you is when I come, mm-hmm. you will have an abundance of all the stuff. Because when he comes and we are transformed, when we have made that final choice to make God first, last, and best in our lives, when he comes, then our hearts will be perfect towards him. No, he could give us all the riches and it wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. He could give us all of the benefits and it won't phase us because
none of those things matter then because we want to be with Jesus.
We have made the choice to be with Jesus. Yeah. But he's saying right now you have to make that choice.
Yes,
that's why these things are a problem is because you need to make the choice now so that when I come, I'll give you these things. And the ability to turn away from riches or whatever our great possessions are comes from the from a focus on Jesus, mm-hmm. who ultimately will give all things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know that I don't have to worry about riches. You know, if I don't have my mansion down here, I'm gonna have it in heaven. Maybe I'll have it down here, but I will definitely have it in heaven.
Mm-hmm. As all three of you were speaking, I'm thinking of, you know, this is great insights into this passage. Mm-hmm. I love this lesson because it takes this narrative, which was in Matthew 19, and says that in the last days, mm-hmm. right before Jesus comes, there will be another class of Christians who are rich, who have increased with goods, mm-hmm. who have need of nothing, mm-hmm. and their reaction maybe the same reaction as this rich young
ruler. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just as the young rich ruler, he wanted to go into the kingdom of God, but he couldn't because of all his possessions. That right before Jesus comes, there's going to be another class of quote, so-called Christians who, because of all the goods that we have and all the whatever, and we're also blind and we're naked, but we have all the clothes that we want and we have all the gold that we want, but we're actually poor. Mm. That we have the same connection to earthly possessions as the rich young ruler, which is essentially Laodicea, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are living in the world's wealthiest period in Earth's history. Mm-hmm. The poorest amongst us is still the richest of you know the majority of earthly history, right? What's the right diagnostic? How do we know if we're rich or poor or not? How do we know that the four of us can sit here and be like, yeah, but money doesn't really have a sway over me. Are we blind? Is that what Laodicea is saying? And how do we see through that?
Mm. I mean, I think John, a lot of it has to do with spending time with God. So like the more time I spend with God, the more he makes me aware of you know, issues I might have with money or with my spending or with my saving or whatever I'm trying to do with my money.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking of here is here that Jesus tried to help this man. He was not losing his money by giving it all away. Mm-hmm. He was investing it.
Right.
But it was an investment that is not like, you know, Wall Street. This is an investment into the kingdom of heaven, an investment into helping other people find Christ. And only a few years later, this was a young ruler, so he would have been alive in 70 AD when the Romans came and destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. And by then, his wealth was useless.
Mm-hmm.
So his investment would have had eternal benefits if he was willing to give it away. And so I'm asking myself now, like now that you know the end is coming soon, how am I investing my wealth? So in the presence of Jesus, I think we should, you know, when you do your budget, when you deal with your money and whatever in your life, pray about it. Like, Jesus, is there something you want me to invest in that is, you know, not my 401k, but the kingdom of heaven? Where can I give?
The 144K.
The 144K. All right, let's not get into that. Justin is now offering a pension plan. But you see what I mean? Like, no, I feel like that's something that I want to be more intentional.
That's real. That's practical. That is practical counsel to take, to open up our account books and say, Lord, you have jurisdiction here everywhere. And that's good. That's good. Siku, and then?
I'll just say that in Revelation, with Laodicea, the solution is to come buy from Jesus.
Yes.
To
come.
Exactly. Come. Buy. To Jesus.
Come to Jesus and buy
and
a
buy.
Oh, yes,
of
yes,
him,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because we're blind to our.
By what?
By
gold refined gold? In fire.
Eye salt?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, and that's the Laodicean answer that we find in Revelation 3. I find that it's. With the practical counsel that you offered and then the revelation counsel you provided, it's essentially, I'm asking, verse 25, right? His answer, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And I'm thinking, as Laodiceans, like, who can be saved? Like, we're blind. How do we know that we're blind? We don't even know that we're blind, that we'd be even asking for these things. Like, how do we know that we're poor? We don't even know. And then just the answer is that in verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. Yes. And I think we just have to come to that acknowledgement, like, Lord, I'm like indifferent. Like, you're coming soon, and sometimes I really don't care. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I just rather watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I know that's wrong, but Lord, that's how I feel right now. That's how rather not. I know I should pay tithe, but I don't want to. I'm going to go to Panda Express and get some veggie chicken instead, you know, like whatever it is. But it's with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. And just from point of impossibility, admitting to God and saying, look, it's impossible for me. I can't do it my own strength. I know it. You've given me this knowledge. So help me. And I look towards you about how it should change your life. That's my prayer request for all of the Laodicea, of which I am in. I know that's the prayer request of my two sisters and my one brother and my other two brothers who are not on this episode. And hopefully that's my prayer request of all of you, my brothers and sisters out there. We are the Church of Laodicea. We have so much, and we need to ask the Lord to say, Lord, it is impossible with my human strength. I need you to create a new heart in me that is willing to give. And not just give out, but also invest in the kingdom of heaven, as Jonathan said. Hopefully it's been a blessing of a conversation. In our next quarter, we are looking at the three angels' messages, the messages that go to the whole world. And that is our mission and our purpose in these last days. God bless you. We'll see you next week here in Inverse.